when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
River Radio family, you're listening to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. This is Blood River Radio, and today is July the 6th, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Almighty, the only name under the sun which man can be saved. Hey, we got a little off script then. In case you wonder what that music we played, doesn't really quite fit the plank of Blood River Radio, but two dear young people, requested that, you know, to be played. They're two of the people in town. By the way, that's Fred and Gail. I will not use their names. They're much younger than I am. But they know who I am, and they still have the things to do with me. They run with me sometimes, and they just think that I'm wonderful and all that stuff. A lot of people hate me. But they said, the music buffs, and they said, that song would fit perfectly because I said, hey, nothing's going to stop us now. And if we're heart to heart, they said, if everybody in our movement have the same heart. In the Bible, they talk about in Acts, when they were in the upper room, they were all of one accord, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I played that just for Fred and Gail, and normally wouldn't do that, but when the young folks ask me to do something, I do it. Anyway, like I said, you're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and so this is a Christian radio show, if you will. Bow your head, and we're going to have a quick prayer. Almighty Father God, thank you so much for continue to watch over me, to bless me, to bless Blood River Radio, Liberty News Radio, to bless all of our friends and our spiritual brothers and sisters that come on this program and listen to us. And I'd like to give a special shout out to Biscuit, who I hadn't heard from this week. I almost hear from him all week long, so I hope he's okay. I'll have to check with Biscuit to make sure he's all right. I always look forward to his messages this week. But anyway, Lord, if you will, look after old Biscuit, and also look after Micah down there from Communist Maryland, and look out for Jay-Z and Blood River Radio Zone AZ. They contributed money to us this week, Lord. So if you will, Lord, give us, like we always say, give us the wisdom and the discernment to know who the enemy is, to have the courage to name that enemy, and give us the courage to fight, lock horns with that enemy, to fight that enemy, and never let us ever hesitate to, don't let us ever let us Always let us ride to the sound of the gunfire. That's all this in Jesus' name, I mean. Well, people, I had to cram that all in there because I'm not used to playing extra music like that. I wanted to give a little short narrative today, how I feel about what happened about last month's USS Liberty, but I won't have time to do that today. If I get time, I'll do that next week. Anyway, we have two very special people on. We have Paul Fromm on. He's our brother from up north in Canada. He's the director, I think, the Canadians Association for Free Speech. We have he's my brother in arms. Love him like a brother because he is my spiritual brother. And we have my little sister, Miss Monica, the Braveheart. She's had her own show. I wish we had time. As a matter of fact, I told Nancy I was considering playing the entire first hour of her program on 1 hour of Blood River Radio because I thought it was so wonderful. And I would ask you people to go. I'm going to ask Miss Monica, Miss Braveheart, to tell you how to go listen to that first hour. It was so clear and concise, so eloquent, and she named everything. She hit every all the bases. She named the enemy, but she did it in such an eloquent way, much more clear than I could do it. Well, anyway, that's who we got on the first hour. Second hour, we got on Sister Nancy, even though she's kind of feeling under the weather. And we got Brother Rand, the Alabama Lone Wolf, coming on second hour with her. And the third hour would be the bitter ender, Gene Andrews. So anyway, with that out of the way, I don't think that's all the announcements. I named the donors, Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone, AZ, and Micah from Communist Maryland. Thank y'all so much. We could not possibly maintain this program without people like y'all. That's for God. That is the truth, especially when donations are down all over this business. I've talked to several people, and I guess people are hurting for money because it's really getting tough. But so the people that do this week in, week out, month in, month out, thank you so much for keeping us on the air. Well, that let me introduce since we're the Southern gentlemen here, we will introduce the ladies first. How you doing tonight, Sister Braveheart?
Doing very well. Thank you so much, Eddie. I'm happy to be on and also happy to be on with Paul Fromm. And I know that he's going to be talking about some very interesting things going on in Canada.
Yes, he will.
Yeah. Did you want...
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Just because you mentioned that show, if people are wanting to find it, it's at the website for the Republic Broadcasting Network, and the website is republicbroadcasting.org. That's it. And there you can find archives, and you'll find a search bar for hosts. You can put in my name, and you should find it then. Anyway, so that's that. You just had mentioned it, so that's why I'm saying it.
I'm telling you flat out, I was very, very impressed. I don't think I've ever heard a better broadcast, because it's not a show, it's a broadcast, because that's the way we look at it. And I take extreme pride in that. I really do. And I'm so happy because it was great. You did such a wonderful job. But I can highly recommend people listening to that. Now, before we go to the break, we're going to bring in my brother, Paul Fromm. How you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing really well. I'm angry, but before I vent my anger, I should give a shout-out to a fellow who's been a strong part of our movement in Ontario, Thomas. He was taken to hospital early this past week, and he has bad news about his liver. I won't go into it any further, but I think our prayers and hopes are with him.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you my prayers too, even though I've never seen him or heard him, but God knows who he is. So, that's what we have to do. We have to just pray, hope for the best, and pray for the best, and just continue to do our job to the best of our ability. But we'll be going to break any second. But before we go, I think we have enough time. You, Mike, could be able to tell people what you're going to cover starting in the next segment after this commercial break, Paul.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a person who's a traitor, who betrays her own people. Whether she recognizes these as her whites as her people or not, she's quite clearly white from pictures in the newspaper, and she has betrayed them in a very, very dire way. It's these absolutely anti-white hiring practices that have now become so popular in woke areas, and this has to do with the library in the Vancouver suburb of Burnaby. And they've got a policy that they will not hire for senior positions anybody who is white. That doesn't matter, need not apply. And here's the hypocrisy. But her position is exempt.
I've read that. Yes, and I want you to take up there as soon as we come back from this first break, Paul. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go back without further wasting your time because airtime is precious. We're going to go right back to your brother Paul, and he's going to continue on what he was telling us about before the break. Go ahead, brother Paul.
Yes. Well, the person I'm really complaining about is the chief librarian for the Burnaby Public Library. Her name is Beth Davies, and she was recently boasting about and proclaiming the hiring policy they have. They call it the special hiring program. What's special is it excludes whites. And for senior positions, they will only consider racialized candidates. That's woke way of saying non-whites, particularly people who identify as blacks or Native Indians. That too I find rather precious. What do you mean identify as? I mean, you're either black or you're not. But this is the same mental illness that allows people to identify their sexuality. Well, today I feel like a woman. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel like a cat. It's this mental illness stuff. But what it means is that it's outright discrimination against whites. Apparently there'd be 85 applicants in the past 3 years for five senior positions, and none of them even got an interview. They're simply excluded, not even considered, because race is most important. And why I call her a traitor is that she is white, and she is doing this to her own people. Now, whether she considers us her own people or not, or if she thinks of herself as some, well, I'm a citizen of the world. No, you're white, and you're doing this to your people. It is as degenerate and evil as, say, a family man who says, well, I believe in feeding children. And he takes all the family food two blocks over to feed another family while his own kids starve. That is degenerate. We owe our loyalty first and foremost to our own family and to our people. And, this pathetic woman, she describes herself as a settler on indigenous land. This is very popular among the woke up here in Canada. Many meetings start with, we meet this evening on the unceded territory of the Blackfoot Indians or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And it's supposed to suggest that we stole the land or we're not legitimately here. I would challenge this woman if I ever get a chance to confront her. Do you really believe that? You're a settler on indigenous land. Okay, in other words, you're illegitimately there. You're a thief. Well, if you really, 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 really believe that, why don't you take the deed to your house, if you have one, sign it over to the local tribe, and go back to whatever country your ancestors came from? I mean, if you believe that. If you don't really believe it, then it's just guilt-mongering, I don't know if we can say it on a family program, BS. It is. And this has to be confronted. And these people are in positions to damage the prospects of our people. I understand a minority favoring other minorities. It's not fair, but I understand them wanting to promote their own. What I don't understand is our own people refusing to at least give our own people a fair chance to hire the ones who are best qualified. There was a good example, in a way, that came to light a few days ago. Our former defense minister is a Sikh, and his name is Sajan. And while he's defense minister, he develops a special program during the evacuation of Afghanistan to help about 200 Sikhs that were trapped in Afghanistan. So the Canadian Armed Forces dropped other important tasks over there and got these 200 Sikhs out. I understand that. He favors his own people. He promotes his own people. He looks after his own people. White people should do the same. And that's why I find this woman just beyond disgusting with what she's done. You may say, well, doesn't Canada have a Charter of Rights and Freedoms and that's against discrimination on the basis of race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, and a whole bunch of other things? Well, that's true. But there's a weasel clause in there. The prohibition against discrimination doesn't affect programs designed to right historical wrong. So if you can market your group as being a victim of discrimination, even though it might have been 150 years ago, you're non-white, you get special privileges. And it just absolutely undercuts fairness and non-discrimination. So what happens is the politically correct can discriminate in favor of privileged groups and against white people. For instance, if you want to go back far enough, when the Irish first came to Canada, and I suspect the U.S., they were not very well liked, and they were discriminated against in terms of jobs and things like that. And there were signs and no Irishman need apply. Well, that, you know, that's back in the middle of the last century. The 19th century. But no Irishman could today claim, well, my folks were my victims of discrimination. You know, I've got to be given privileges. It doesn't work that way. But if a Chinaman gets off the plane and lands in Canada, he is immediately considered an underprivileged minority, even though he may, have $1 million in his pocket. Wretched system is just set up to disadvantage and discriminate against white people. I've been urging my online readers, if they live out there in Burnaby, to revolt, to have a protest, and to go to the town council and say we don't want to pay our taxes if this anti-white racist won't give white people a chance for senior jobs at the library, we don't want to support that. We have to start making more noise, in my opinion.
Well, that was really important what you just said about the Irish. And I think that those kind of examples, Paul, are so important to draw people's attention to the lopsided, this whole agenda of, so-called righting historical wrongs. Now, if they told us only truth about history, even then, if something was, 250 years ago or so, by now, we've got an even playing field, right? But the bad part about it is that most of the stuff they tell us about our history is just a pack of lies anyway. And so righting historical wrongs, well, what about maybe we should right the historical wrongs that the story of Kennewick Man is highlighting? And I know that you know that story very well, but it's an example of suppressed archaeology, which indicates that perhaps our people, i.e. the Caucasian race, the white race, we were here first in the Americas. But that's ancient history. That goes back many thousands of years. But, let's just say we don't have any such evidence. That doesn't matter. Like your Irish example of them being discriminated against openly, like no Irish need apply, and that's as recent as the mid-19th century. Yeah, so can you imagine if the Irish people now were going to demand reparations for the wrongs that their ancestors put up with? I mean, it would just be laughed out of... it would just be laughed at. And then, but it would be an important thing to, for comparison purposes. I have a little story about when I was visiting a friend in Powell River just over a year ago. We attended a meeting there because, the Aboriginal people there are busily working on changing the name of Powell River. And that in and of itself has a whole backstory that is, just shows the hypocrisy of all this, because Mr. Powell, or maybe he was a Sir Powell, I'm not sure, but he worked very hard to better the plight of the native people. But anyway, now they hate him, and so they want to change the name, right, just because he was a white guy. But anyway, we went to this meeting, and there was a young woman who got up. I would say she was in her early 20s, and in the end, I just thought, my goodness, this poor creature. But she got up, and she was practically crying. She was wailing, crying about how she is the descendant of settlers on indigenous land, and she just feels so bad about it, just like what you're saying, Paul, about this settler on indigenous land. And I mean, she was just self-hating. And I do hear the music, so I'll hand it back to you, Eddie.
Well, I'll tell you what, y'all are doing a great job, and I'll have a comment or two to make before we come back from this break right here. So people, don't go anywhere. Get some coffee. It's been kind of a long break, so you have time to use the restroom, whatever you want to do. Be right back, folks.
Program. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Rail cars carrying hazardous materials derailing in North Dakota.
Emergency officials say no one was hurt in Friday's derailment. They also say the threat to those living nearby appears to be minimal. 29 cars of a CPKC train derailed about 3:45 in the morning. Cars were still burning more than 12 hours later. The North Dakota Department of Environmental Quality's Spill Investigation Program Manager says the cars were carrying anhydrous ammonia, sulfur, and methanol. The ammonia was the biggest risk, but wind is carrying the smoke away from the nearby town of Bordelak, which has about 20 residents. Keith Peters reporting.
National Hurricane Center expects Beryl to begin regain hurricane strength, and forecasts say it should move toward the northeastern part of Mexico and the Texas coast over the weekend. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Federal Trade Commission taking some legal action.
The FTC has unanimously voted to bring a lawsuit against mattress maker Tempur Sealy to block its $4 billion acquisition of Mattress Firm, saying the deal would allow the world's largest mattress supplier to suppress competition that would result in higher prices for shoppers. The combined companies would have a total of some 3,000 retail stores, 30 e-commerce platforms, 71 manufacturing facilities, and 4 research and development facilities worldwide. John Scott reporting.
2 teenagers have died while swimming in New York's Coney Island Beach in Brooklyn. Police say 2 females, 17 and 18, had gone in the water and then disappeared. Police from the department's Aviation Harbor Scuba Unit conducted a search. Divers eventually removed the bodies of both young women from the water. An investigation is now underway. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you are.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm just going to ask this one question to Paul, to Brother Paul's sister Braveheart, and our listening, our listeners out there, our family. Brother Paul said, if a rich Chinaman, if a Chinaman, say, is a multimillionaire, he gets off of a plane in Canada, the Canadian government, they'd roll out the red carpet and treat him like he's absolute royalty. But that, see, that they don't consider him a settler or even an invader on indigenous land. The same here in the United States. There you go, indigenous. The same here. We have millions of non-whites pouring across the border of the United States. But the same, they're welcome. As, they're not looked at as open as interlopers. They're looked at as just wonderful people. But go ahead, Paul.
This is what one of the things that convinces me of the absolute hypocrisy of this. We meet on indigenous on. The unceded territory of this tribe or that tribe, that's never directed at the hordes coming in from the third world. Hey, did you realize you're coming here to the unceded territory of the Ojibwe nation? You're kind of trespassing. The official approach of our of various levels of governments is to throw open the welcome mat and diversity is our greatest strength, and so on. That's one of the things that convinces me it is only a weapon for anti-white propaganda, because they know that one of our weak points, or well, it's good and bad, is that we're susceptible to guilt. No, it's a good thing if I'm conscientious and run over a neighbor's kid's toy on the road. Okay, I feel badly. I go to the door and say, "Look, I wrecked the kid's toy here. What can I do to buy another one?" That's good. But we are susceptible to what I call false guilt or group guilt. This is one of the things, and Sister Monica will know this even better than I. But one of the diabolical things done by the psychological rapists to the German nation after World War II, to make all Germans feel guilty. And I think my belief is it will probably take another generation or two for this to wear off. I mean, many Germans that I met feel guilty. They didn't do anything. I mean, in many cases, they weren't even born during World War II. But they'd be made to feel guilty and crippled. And in many cases, crippled in terms of being able to defend their people and themselves. They feel guilty. It's psychological warfare. And I invented this slogan about 15 years ago, but I kind of think it's really worthwhile. Guilty no more. I'm not interested in guilt. Other than on a personal level for something I've personally done wrong. But group guilt, no. Absolutely not. And just as the Irishman's tale of wool would be laughed out of the public forum today, and rightly so, I think other forms of race guilt should be, like reparations for slavery. Well, there aren't any slaves in North America. Nobody's alive today was a slave. Nobody's parent was a slave or grandparent was a slave. I'm not going to pay for something that happened, almost 200 years ago. That's just BS. Anyway.
That's right. And this guilt cult, not only is it just a really bad thing to suffer under, you know, constant, oh, feeling bad about us, ourselves, but it, what it does is it allows the our opponent's agenda of opening the borders. And I'll just summarize this in 13 words, what my cousins said to me and to Alfred when we showed them my little short little 6-minute video, and they went ballistic. And in 13 words, here's the summary. Germany was bad. Now Germany is good. You are making Germany bad again. So, you know, translation is easy enough. Germany was bad, okay, the supposed story about World War II, the one that we now know is a pack of lies. And
yes.
Now Germany is good, so let's add to that what that means. We're bringing in all these migrants, aren't we good? And then the third part of the statement, you are making Germany bad again. So they think that we are going to bring about the next Holocaust by our attitude of saying that the other one didn't happen. Somehow that's their logic. I don't know how that logic works, but that is their logic. I was told that many times by folks in Jasper too, that, you know, your way of thinking, you're going to start the next Holocaust, you know? I mean, it's completely ridiculous. So that's this guilt cult. It is a millstone around the neck of the Germans. So it, not only does it it's like a paradigm that they are living in that allows these suicidal policies to be put in place of open borders and whatnot. And also the Germans are paying and paying and paying and paying. And I mean, the same thing is going on here. We are paying and paying and paying. I mean, the Aboriginal people here, or the Native people, or the Indigenous people, whatever you want to call them, they are getting basically a lot of handouts, don't you think, Paul? Like, they go to university for free. Oh. They don't pay taxes, do they, or do they? I don't know. Can you elaborate?
If they live on the reservation, they don't pay taxes. And again, that's discriminatory against white people and everybody else. Not sure where. I think he was in Milwaukee, but the speech that Donald Trump gave within the last week, it ended up, and it was absolutely spine tingling. And I know not everybody in our circle likes Trump, and yes, I certainly acknowledge he's got weaknesses, particularly in terms of that. That shitty little state in the Middle East, but we will make America strong again. We will make America rich again. We will make America great again, and we will make America proud again. I thought, wow, is that ever healthy? And that's what I see, that this evil guilt industry trying to eat away at the pride of white people in general. Germans in particular, and like our governments, or certainly at the federal level, says nothing good about white people. Our entire history was, you know, abusing the native people and not letting Jews in during the Second World War, and having a largely whites-only immigration policy until 1948. Just guilt, 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 when we should be proud. But the average person now... feels, well, what's there to be proud of? Our national holiday.
That's right.
A lot of people don't celebrate it, but our holiday, our national day, is the 1st of July. And a lot of people, they're not very happy with this country, and rightly so. And they're certainly not given any reason to be proud of it.
Yeah, I can tell a little story about... a dinner series that I was a guest at, and they call it the Guest of Dishonor. And truly, that's what I was named, in jest, of course. And the idea was that, you know, after the dinner dishes are cleared, I talk about the topic, whatever my topic is. Like, they had a series like this, so they had others who were perhaps, you know, what they now call climate denier and or a vax denier. Anyway, so I was their first guest of dishonor. And when it was all said and done, and I, you know, everybody was respectfully listening and they could ask questions, and we had a really good session. And at the end, when they, some of them actually did reach the proper conclusions that the white race is under attack and that, you know, the somebody is trying to do away with us. Well, when they came to that conclusion, you know how they responded, a couple of these people, they said, oh, well, you know, everything has its time and the sun will burn out sometime anyway. And we've had our time and we've kind of messed things up anyway. See, this is also the big danger of this white guilt, white guilt, white guilt, which is based on a lot of lies and abusing our good qualities of trust and empathy against us, using, you know, those are weaponized against us so that we can easily made to feel guilty. And I guess we're going to the break.
Yes, we are.
I want to say something about that right after the break.
You're very welcome to say it, and you can as soon as we come back to this last break. Be right back, folks.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we were just talking during the break how fast, incredibly fast, the time goes on this program. I'll just make a comment before we go back to our precious guests, my brother and sister. You know, from day one, when a Sister Braveheart came on this program years ago, we had a lady, another lady from Germany. I can't remember her name right now, but I hope she's doing well because I know she was having some health problems. But anyway, Sister Monica said that, I'll never forget it, that the Holocaust lie was the linchpin lie that holds all other lies together. If we could ever destroy that satanic lie, if we could ever shine the cleansing light of day on that lie for our people, then all the other lies almost probably would just fade away in our people. It would go a long ways to freeing our people. How about this, Sister Monica?
Well, I do think that it it is the one that would knock that house of cards down, because we would be, or the people would be forced to look at this Jewish power and Jewish, the Jewish myth, which has always been we, the persecuted people, like the Jewish people. They say, oh, we're always persecuted, we're always hated, we're always persecuted. Well, this Holocaust lie, once that is broken down and that you see what the truth of it is, that they were not the victims and that they actually were the perpetrators of great wrongs and sufferings of all the other people, wow, then their whole mythos breaks down of them being the persecuted people. It's kind of like the modern day essence of their whole mythology, isn't it?
Yeah,
yes, you know. Go ahead, Paul.
I think there are two ways to attack the grip that this Holocaust thing has. In the theocracy of Canada, where it is now a state religion, and you can't express doubt about it. Okay, it cannot be attacked directly, but I think an indirect attack may be even more effective. Look. This so-called Holocaust, whatever it was, it didn't happen in Canada or the United States. It didn't happen to Canadians or Americans. And we, Canadians and Americans, didn't do it, whatever it was. In fact, didn't we fight against the guys who allegedly did do it? Don't bore me with it. I feel no guilt. As Travis Tritt said in one of his great songs, here's a quarter called Someone Who Cares. I'm bored. I don't give a damn.
I know you knew Travis Tritt.
You remember? Yeah, good old boy. I'm interested in what's happening to my people. I don't care about a wandering tribe and what they may or may not have gone through.
That's very good, Paul. One of the things they've done with the psychological warfare aspect of it is, and I remember this from younger days, when we were schooled in how ordinary people can turn into monsters, like the ordinary German people. They all participated in this one way or another. And so they really, even in the films, they show these angelic, beautiful looking faces of German people, and that they were the perpetrators. And so they're really putting this mythos in our heads that it's just good people that actually become monsters, so that could be us, right? And that's why we also are guilty, you know, etc. Just my little comment. Over to you. Back to you.
Now, one of the, you ended up with before the break about the story when you convinced some of the dinner guests that the white race might be under attack, they said, oh, well, you know, we've had our day, we made a lot of mistakes, maybe things will move on. And I wonder, do those people have children? Because if they do, you're saying a much worse life, standard of living, opportunity is what you are willing to leave to your children and grandchildren, if you have any. I've run into that attitude, too, when the province of Ontario first started to bring in what affirmative action, or what they now call employment equity, in the education system. I was a member of the teachers' union. And the head of the union came back to the school one day, and I said, well, what happened in that meeting you had with the board yesterday? And she said, well, I know that in the future, my sons will probably not be hired by that board of education because they're white. And I said, you're probably right. So are we for the, we're against this, of course, aren't we? This employment equity? Oh, no, we're for it. And I thought,
wow.
I hope those boys leave you, in your own mess in a bed. You are one horrible mother. If you know, you're not stupid. You know where this is going to go. It's going to be work out against the interests of your sons.
Yes.
Well, if they're a witch of a mother, or the other word,
yes.
Is that uncaring, then, boy, she does not deserve filial love. I mean, I felt
yeah.
really, it gobsmacked me. You're not a stupid woman. You understand what it means. And you still are in favor of it? That's treason.
It's unbelievable. She's been made mentally ill by this indoctrination. That's, you cannot say it any other way. She has been made mentally ill. That is a mental illness. If she's okay with that her sons are going to be excluded and she's in favor of this policy. Oh, my goodness.
I heard that the same words you did, Sister Monica. Oh, 25 years ago from a very wealthy man in Victoria, British Columbia, who was a good supporter of mine. And he was very old Anglo-Saxon. And he said, this country is definitely going to become less and less white. But I guess that's just the way it is. But anyway, I'll be gone.
Oh,
I thought, well, you'll be gone before they're rioting in the streets. That's probably true. Do you not feel anything for your kids and grandkids? And he did have kids. And, you know, he was in many ways a good man, but I thought that attitude is so defeatist. And he was one of the good guys.
Yeah, it is. It's defeatist. And, oh, my goodness, we have work to do. This is what I say. And after that dinner, you know, Guest of Dishonor, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner series, I said, wow, we have work to do. Not only must we correct the, put the evidence and facts in accord with our history, but we also need to revive our love of our people and our love of our culture, our music, our architecture. And that takes recognition that we have a beautiful culture and that we have beautiful traits among our people that, you know, genetically, like, yeah, we've been made pretty sick now. So there's a lot of sick people out there. I have no qualms about saying that. And there's a lot of people of our race that have become, very, you know, you could just put them aside and say, wow, you egotistical, narcissistic fool. But in general, you know, but really we have to revive our health and reconnect with our DNA and who we are as a people. Over to you, one of you.
I think you're absolutely right. You've got to start with white or European pride. And once you've got white pride, then the next, it will lead to the next thing, white power and taking back our countries. It would seem to me the people you were talking to felt there was nothing to be proud about. It was just the fact that maybe we're being replaced, and our time is on the decline, and others will take our place. That you can only be indifferent to that fate if you don't have pride in your people. I get a little bit short tempered when I see grown men bawling because they're a football team or basketball team lost. Grown men crying. I bet they didn't even cry at their mother's funeral. But meanwhile, we're losing our country. I mean, I have my own preferences in sports, and I'm right now flying the German flag because of the World Cup and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if Germany doesn't make it, I'm not going to be weeping. We should have that pride in our people, not in some, silly local, football or basketball or baseball team.
Eddie, and I'll just say I've got a really bad connection. So in case we get cut off, I'll just say thanks so much for having me on the show. I've been cut out on and off here the last few minutes.
Well, thank you so much for coming out. Look, this is the end of the hour anyway. You heard the music.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank both of y'all for coming in.
Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. I'll make one final comment. These race traitors that you people have been talking about, I've said this before, I compare them to a bitch dog that has a litter of puppies, and then she bites her puppies in the throat and kills them and goes over and starts nursing a litter of rat pups. Speaking of transitioning to the second hour now, and I'd like to thank Paul, sister, brother Paul, sister Monica for coming on. Thank y'all so much. People, go get you some coffee. It's going to be a long break. We're transitioning to the second hour. We're going to pick up Rand, the Alabama Lone Wolf, and the Bell Cow Nancy. See you in a few minutes, folks.